Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy, the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Werpman. Good morning.
Hi, what a wonderful introduction.
Another wonderful introduction. All right, so before you do your blog posting, I have a problem.
Sure.
All right? And
sure.
The problem is as follows. I am sadly noticing that with this pandemic, very few people understand body basics. I mean, really body basics. Stuff that...
Right.
And it got me thinking, forget the pandemic, it got me thinking, well, no wonder people can't figure out how to diet. No wonder.
Well, why are they no less informed now than they might have been before the pandemic?
Because if you don't know the basics, remember those annoying building blocks of meals, you know, in a square?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't know the basics, what I'm calling body basics, you know, for example, if you tweak something, then you need to ice. It's almost basic first aid, but it's how things are connected. You don't really know what you're doing. You know, and remember, I'm old. So I'm talking about people who have, you know, sort of grown up with, it's like, okay, well, here, do this and therefore this. There's zero connection. You could put those wires together, you're not going to get a spark.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. What you're saying is people don't understand anything about how the food they put in their mouth is used, processed, discarded by the body.
Yep. And so
you're right. And we just eat what we want to eat. We eat what we can get, you know, in a restaurant or delivered, or that we have a yearning for, and we don't even think about the consequences.
Or you eat what you're given. But if you don't know how to, let's be really effete and let's do wine pairings. If you don't know which wine goes with which, if you don't know which, let's almost call it food groups go with other things. And you know, there's an assumption because obviously some people do. They don't even think about it. But way, way, way more people don't. So,
well, you know, part of it, Jill, is that in the very old days, you know, around the time that Lincoln was obviously chopping wood, there was something called home economics, a dreadful term. But originally it was very important because it really tried to teach homemakers how to get the most nutritional value out of a diet limited by their income, which was oftentimes very low. And, you know, what vegetables produce the most nutrients or fruits and, you know, how you could stretch a piece of lean meat, you know, to feed several people by adding vegetables and grains, what have you. And also, so it taught, you know, kids, it was girls, mostly, you know, girls, you know, in junior high school, you know, how to eat the four food groups to prepare them for your, you know, family. And, of course, in those days, many times, kids who were 12 or 13 were actually cooking for their families because they came from big families and they were expected to help out. But then much time passed, that particular field of study was totally dropped. And what took its place was all sorts of erratic and irrational nutritional suggestions by self-appointed nutritional gurus who said, well, you don't really have to pay attention to what you're eating. Just take this supplement or take this pill. Or if you eat this sort of food, we don't really care what we knew about what it did to the body because now we know that what it really does is it take toxicity away from your liver or enhance your immune system or make your brain rot. And so, you know, the whole thing about, well, you eat foods because your body needs the nutrients in those foods in order to survive and to reproduce the cells that are dying, et cetera, all that is simply boring, and nobody wouldn't be pays any attention to it. And so you're absolutely right. You know, you could go for days without eating the kinds of foods that you need, and you wonder why you're just feeling tired or why your skin may be dry or your hair may be thinning or what have you, and you don't realize that you may be putting yourself into a state of sort of semi-malnutrition. I mean, you're not going to be malnourished because we're all too heavy and well-nourished for that, but you just may be on the borderline of getting the kinds of nutrients you need. And ironically, the only time that anybody really is well-nourished is women who are pregnant and who get the right kind of care that they should be getting, prenatal care. You know, at that point, they start paying attention to how they're eating because they want their newborn to benefit from that.
You know, it's interesting. I'm so old that when I went to high school, we had a home economics class that was headed by Mrs. Patberg. Now, back then, it was dedicated basically to to females, not no males.
Yeah,
but that's still, right. But still, you had a home economics. You had a home economics class, and it wasn't cooking and baking and stuff like that. But it was things that you should learn if you're going to be a homemaker. It was things that you should learn and understand about. And we've gotten so far away from that now in our education process. That doesn't help either, because I think people, when they're in high school, they'd much rather sit at a home economics class and talk about the different ways food can be prepared and cooked and the values, yeah. the good values against the bad values and stuff like that.
But you could totally do that. You really yeah. could. And what, you know, for example, you can eat, and you Marshall Miles know this really well because I learned it from you. That's how I know you know it really well. You can eat. Let's make it 1,800 calories of stuff and be on an 1,800 calorie diet and not do a useful thing for your body, you know, to help it. It's just like it's the 18.
Of course. Just go eat a few donuts and some, you know, so-called, you know, protein bars or what have you, which are, you know, mostly junk. Oh, sure. You know, and nobody reads food labels to find out what there should be, what's in the foods that they're eating. And the other problem is, I'm not sure whether it's still true because of the pandemic, but when we were getting a lot of our meals in restaurants, you never got a balanced meal. It used to be that you went into a restaurant 20 years ago and you would get a main course, would be protein, and two sides, a starch and a veg, right? And maybe a little salad. So at least you knew there was something called a vegetable on your plate. I mean, you recognize it as such. Now, if you want a vegetable, if you go into a restaurant or order out, it costs you extra. You don't, if you order a breast of chicken, you may get a baby-sized carrot, you know, as big as your toothpick, but you're not going to get, you know, two vegetables and a starch at all, unless you want to pay extra for it. So you don't even know these things exist or should be part of a meal.
Right. And that's the part that I'm objecting to, because, yes, a very fine few do know this and, you know, just take it for granted and organize accordingly. But
yeah,
a lot of people...
I mean, oftentimes, my husband and I, when we used to be able to go out for dinner in the old days, we would order a side dish of a vegetable as an appetizer. Right. And, you know, the wait staff would look at us like, we're crazy. You're ordering steamed broccoli for an appetizer or something? We'd say, yeah, we want the vegetable, and we know we're not going to get it as part of our meal, and we just sort of want to munch on this while waiting for our meal to be delivered to us. Or you could, in those days, get maybe a salad as a first course. But oftentimes, the salads, well... They're filled with salad dressing and stuff that really doesn't resemble vegetables. No, it's, you know, and the same thing really is true. I briefly talk about this, about exercise. We have no idea how much we should be doing and at what level. And the government came out with recommendations, poorly timed, about how much we should be exercising. I mean, who can exercise now when, you know, you don't go to a gym and it's the weather is, in many parts of the country, not... does not permit you to exercise in any comfort outside. But anyway, saying you should exercise at least 2.5 hours a week, a vigorous or moderately to vigorous exercise, and you think, oh, I exercise vigorously, you know, I take a fast walk. Uh-uh. You know, vigorous exercise means you really have to get your heart rate up. And I was aware of this, Jill, when, you know, my 8-pound puppy goes running off, you know, to catch a squirrel, and I'm at the other end of the leash, and I'm puffing and panting and thinking, oh, that's vigorous exercise before I sort of collapse. And the problem is that most of us don't even know what it's like to exercise with enough intensity to get our heart rate up. And you're really supposed to get it between, let's say, 60% of what your maximum capacity is. And most people don't know what their maximum capacity is. It's very simple. You just simply subtract your age from 220, and that is your maximum heart rate. And then if you want to figure out if you know how to do percents, what 60% of that is, or your smartphone will do it for you. That's what your heart rate should be. And you should be after a few minutes of exercise. But how many of us, walking down the street, you know, chit-chatting or looking at the squirrels, how many of us really exercise with that kind of intensity?
You know, when you talk about the heart rate, when I used to weigh 430 pounds, my standing heart rate still was 77, okay? After I lost, if my weight stays between 250 and 300, my standing heart rate is 57.
That's, yeah. But Marshall, how much exercise does it take to get your heart rate back up?
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't take much exercise at all. It takes when I used to my trainer before COVID-19 used to work with me. The first thing we used to do is to go out and walk, and we would walk in different intervals, different speeds, until we got the heart rate up to where it should be, where you started to perspire a little bit, and then there you did off and on for 3 miles. You did different speeds of walking, and then at the very end we did a power walk for about a quarter of a mile, where I went as hard as I could, and then the last quarter of a mile was a rest down period.
Right.
Perfect. But most of us won't do that for ourselves. And
can't do it now anyway.
There are very few, you know, you can do it, you do something online, but nobody's there behind you saying, okay, come on, you're not really doing it as fast as the trainer on your computer screen is doing it. We really have to discipline ourselves to do it, because otherwise we're just not going to be in very good shape at the end of all this. You know, we're losing muscle and we're losing capacity to really get enough oxygen, as much oxygen into our bodies as we should be. And I thought it was just really, what a funny time for that recommendation to come out when gyms are closed and people, you know, can't, because of social isolation and fear of being outside with a lot of other people around, really can't do the exercise that they should be doing.
Perfect. Just what you expect from government.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, let's hope next week is better.
All right. Good.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy with Food for Mood every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio. It's funny.